Folks got to ask you why in the world you came down here to live.
Heck, I've never lived by myself. I've had 17,000 visits a year, night and day, ever since I've been here.
From 1955 to 1972, Robert Harrell was known as the Hermit of Fort Fisher in North Carolina. He spent his life inviting in strangers and teaching them about living a life free of social norms. And in the end, the strangers he tried to always welcome in may have killed him. This is the story of the Hermit of Fort Fisher. This is Southern Mysteries.
It's gonna be all right. These ain't dark or troubled times. It's a day like any other day. You got a dark and troubled mind, all right. You hold that baby tight. And I swear if you can hear me, then everything gonna be just fine, all right. All right.
Welcome to Southern Mysteries. I'm your host, Shannon Ballard. At some point in your life, you've probably been so overwhelmed by work, your everyday responsibilities and problems, that you've been tempted to run away from it all, go off alone somewhere, be free of everything, live like a hermit lives. But for most of us, it's a fleeting thought on a bad day, and we press on. But there are those among us who have done it. Robert Harrell did. He lived as a hermit for 17 years in an old bunker on Fort Fisher in North Carolina. To this day, some people wonder how he mustered the willpower and strength to live in such a harsh environment for so long. But when you understand Robert Harrell's life and the setbacks he faced, you may just understand more about his choices. Robert Harrell was born in Gaffney, South Carolina on Groundhog Day in 1893. He was challenged by tragedy early in life. By the early 1900s, both his mother and two brothers contracted typhoid fever and died. When Robert was sent to live with his step-grandmother, any childhood he had left after suffering such great loss disappeared into a violent storm of domestic violence. His step-grandmother was a violent woman who would beat him, and he would often run from her, and he would run straight to the place he could find shelter, the woods around his home. Friends say his only solace and source of peace was nature. When he would run away or sneak away into the woods near his home, he spent time near streams, rivers, and lakes. The water seemed to be his refuge in a peaceful place away from home and the anger and violence there. In the midst of the chaos at home, Robert did press forward, graduating from high school, having taken part in the school's debating and literary society, and had at one point considered a career as a minister. But he disagreed with a faculty member over the topic of evolution and made the decision to drop out of college. Robert Harrell would spend the next few years of his life taking miscellaneous jobs. He worked in a cotton mill, as a watch repairer, and as a printer. And Robert even worked as a sidewalk tinker around Shelby, North Carolina. Now, if a tinker isn't a familiar term to you, it means he would mend and repair things people asked him to right there on the sidewalk. In 1913, Robert Harrell married the woman who had stolen his heart. Her name was Katie Hamrick. Together, they would have four sons and one daughter who died shortly after she was born. Robert and Katie Harrell were said to really love one another. But Katie, the rest of Robert's family, and others around their town thought Robert was disturbed. He sometimes complained of demons in his head, and his in-laws even had him involuntarily committed to a mental institution. But Robert walked out of that institution about as soon as they put him in there. Those who knew and loved him seemed to believe Robert's struggle with mental illness was a result of the abuse he had suffered when he was a child. And that struggle continued to take its toll on Robert Harrell and his family. In 1935, one of Robert and Katie's sons committed suicide. He jumped from a railway trestle. The family was struggling, and later that year, the marriage was said to be beyond repair. Katie answered a man's ad in a local paper for a housekeeper for his home in Pennsylvania. Katie Harrell took the job and took their sons with her. Robert and Katie divorced a few years later, and in time, Katie would marry the man she went to work for in Pennsylvania. Still, Robert Harrell tried to move forward. He made a living peddling trinkets and making jewelry. He also continued his education. Robert took correspondence courses from Dr. William Marcus Taylor at the School of Biopsychology in Chattanooga, Tennessee. The study of biopsychology was very important to Robert Harrell. And if you're not familiar with biopsychology, the best way to describe it, it's the field of psychology that deals with the health of the brain and the effects on behavior. To many of us, human behavior can seem pretty weird at times when you look at it from the outside. But in biopsychology, therapy from this perspective, it addresses mental illness by changing the abnormal behavior into a less abnormal behavior. It's an approach of understanding human behavior by looking at it from the inside to the outside. As you get to know more about Robert Harrell, his desire to learn more about biopsychology, his great interest in this field, it makes sense. Because Robert Harrell didn't see the world in what you would see as a typical way. By the summer of 1955, Robert Harrell was ready for a radical change in his life. He was 62 years old, and he was ready for a simple life, free of reliance on others. He left his inland home in North Carolina and hitchhiked 260 miles to the place that would soon be his home for the rest of his life, the North Carolina coast. He arrived in Carolina Beach first. He then walked south to Fort Fisher. It's known as the place where the land ends. Fort Fisher had been a Confederate fort during the Civil War. The fort's located on one of Cape Fear River's two outlets to the Atlantic Ocean. Due to its importance during the Civil War, this is where one of the most decisive Civil War battles had been fought in North Carolina. Large crowds visited this historic site, Fort Fisher, every year. And the landscape is fascinating. Fort Fisher was unique because it was built of sand, unlike forts of the Civil War that you often think of that are built of wood or brick. It was built on sand because it made sense. It's on the beach, and it was an easy way to provide protection and security for the area. And for Robert Harrell, he found his security, his safe place at Fort Fisher. He lived as much of a hermit life as he could. He hunted and gathered food. As one friend put it, Robert either knew or learned all you needed to know about gathering food that's not only safe, but also delicious and flavorful. According to Michael Edwards, who is Robert Harrell's biographer, that 1955 trip, it did end unsuccessfully for Robert Harrell, who was arrested on a vagrancy charge and shipped back to his old hometown. But by the next summer, Robert Harrell was back in Fort Fisher, and he was there to stay. Some of the education Robert Harrell had in pursuing the life of a hermit came from the other hermits on Federal Point. His name was Empty Hewitt, and he was known in the area as Wild Man by some people, but by most, he was known as Birdman. He was the definition of a hermit. He avoided people as much as he could, and he especially didn't like people being in the woods around Fort Fisher. It said his face was slightly disfigured, having been scarred by cancer, and he would hide and jump out and spook couples who were necking in the dunes. But there was something the Birdman liked about Robert Harrell. They became friends, and Birdman showed Robert his tricks for catching fish in traps and how to search and find edible plants along the dunes. It was Birdman who showed Robert Harrell an abandoned concrete blockhouse on Fisher Island. The old blockhouse dated back to World War II when the Army used Fort Fisher as an anti-aircraft training post. The area was surrounded by sand with hundreds of fiddler crabs scurrying about, pelicans and all kinds of birds above the grass of the marsh below, live oaks and myrtle bushes all around. It was and still is a beautiful place. You can understand why Robert Harrell might have wanted to call this place home. And he did. He moved into that old concrete blockhouse and soon became known to the locals as the Fort Fisher Hermit. By 1958, the news of the Fort Fisher Hermit had started to make local headlines with features in area newspapers. People were curious about this man who looked like Ernest Hemingway and was living in an old bunker on Fort Fisher. With his signature straw hat and his cutoff shorts and mysterious life, Robert Harrell had caught the attention of locals and tourists alike. He had a way about him that made people feel comfortable. So when tourists would visit the Fort Fisher Historic Site, they started seeking out the man known around town as the Hermit. They would walk down to the bunker, find him there or around the nearby beach, and strike up a conversation with him. Crowds would come to see him and sit on old wooden crates, on rocks and sand, and talk to him about nature and society and the politics of the day. But his passion was philosophy. He even created what he called the School of Common Sense. He spoke many times about writing a book about his philosophy. He never wrote the book, but he did live out his philosophy of simplicity. If you heard Robert Harrell explain the School of Common Sense to you, it may not make too much sense. Many people who knew him said they were never too clear on exactly what Robert's School of Common Sense was, but in how he lived his life, he seemed to make the message clear. It meant living more like the animals and birds live, going about your business, getting your food, and working and resting in your chosen place. As one friend said about Robert's philosophy of life, better a humble bunker than a false castle. After a few years, Robert enjoyed connecting with people so much that it was hard to call him a hermit anymore. The label just didn't make sense. After all, Robert Harrell had so many people visiting him that he started a guest book to track them and find out where they were from. Robert Harrell became so popular by the 1960s that the state of North Carolina unofficially recognized the Hermit of Fort Fisher as the second most popular tourist attraction in the state. It's said that by the 1970s, he was claiming up to 17,000 visitors per year, and those visitors came from all over the United States and dozens of foreign countries. In 1969, Robert Harrell was interviewed by a reporter from a radio station. The interview was featured in the documentary, The Fort Fisher Hermit, that was released in 2009. And I do want to tell you, the audio is not the best, so you might want to lean in a little bit, because this is a Southern man with a Southern accent on the beach with all the sounds around back in 1969.
Folks got to ask you why in the world you came down here to live. Why is it?
For the first 3 years, that's the main question. They say, how come you ever become a hermit, or how come you decide to come out here and live by yourself? Heck, I've never lived by myself. I've had 17,000 visitors a year, night and day, ever since I've been here.
Well, you're not a hermit. You're an educated man. You went to school.
Education wouldn't knock a man out of being a hermit. If an educated man stayed over in the woods by himself or on an island and had nothing much to do with people, he'd be a hermit. I know some rich families in Shelby, millionaires. They're all hermits. They live in a mansion. They won't speak to each other.
Do you like people?
I wouldn't stay here if I didn't.
The attention on Robert Harrell and the increasing amount of press and interviews he agreed to led him to an unexpected reunion. A trucker was in the North Carolina coastal area right after a hurricane. There was an article that mentioned the Hermit of Fort Fisher and named him as Robert Harrell. This trucker happened to be friends with Robert Harrell's son, Edward, who was living in Ohio at the time. When the trucker saw Edward Harrell again, he showed him the article and was telling him about the hermit. And Edward Harrell saw the photo of the Hermit of Fort Fisher. Immediately, he looked at the photo and said, "That's my dad." Edward Harrell drove to Fort Fisher. He traveled down the old road that led to the bunker where the hermit lived. It was late at night, and when he arrived, he could see a fire outside of the bunker. As he pulled up and parked, a man stood up and walked toward him. Edward Harrell got out of his car, pulled out a guitar, and began playing an old song he and his dad played together when they were younger. It's called Silver-Haired Daddy. And immediately, Robert Harrell knew his son had come to visit. Edward Harrell and his family would make many trips to visit Robert at his bunker by the beach because no matter what they said, Robert just wouldn't leave his home at Fort Fisher. As the years went by, Robert survived off the sea and land and thrived off of those visits from family and the company of strangers and the kindness of them too. Strangers adopted Robert as their own and would visit him to chat and drop off food for him. Or they would leave change in his official donation spot, in his frying pan outside of his bunker. It turns out the money left there may have been surprisingly substantial due to the number of people visiting the hermit and how much people loved him. With fame and publicity, there seems to always come unwanted attention from the wrong people. And that was the case with Robert Harrell. Remember, when Robert Harrell set up home in his old concrete bunker on Fisher Island, he was 62 years old, a determined man, but living in an environment that left him defenseless. He had no way to call for help when people would go down to the bunker late at night to mess with him and try to steal money from his frying pan stash. There had also been rumors that Robert had a fortune buried somewhere near his camp, which wasn't true. But the rumors did bring the wrong kind of people to his bunker, who wanted to sneak around and steal from the hermit or destroy what little possessions he owned. Occasionally, the hermit would go into town in Carolina Beach to get supplies. And while he was away, redneck delinquents, as the locals called them, would set fires at the bunker and destroy some of Robert Harrell's belongings. And Robert Harrell was kidnapped in 1961 by two men who said they would drive him into town and even take him to a diner to eat. He believed them, and along the way, they tried to rob him of the little money he had, but he managed to escape that night. He reported the incident and had the men arrested, and the hermit took these men to court. And Robert Harrell didn't get an attorney. He represented himself. Can you imagine the courtroom on the day of court? The men who were accused of kidnapping Robert Harrell walking into court, looking the best they could to be presentable for the court. And the hermit walking in with his straw hat and cut-off shorts, determined to be himself, to stand up for himself. And it worked. The men who kidnapped Robert Harrell went to jail for 6 months. Some of the unwanted attention on Robert Harrell also came from people who didn't believe he should be living at Fort Fisher. You may have been wondering how a 62-year-old man could arrive at a historic fort, walk into a World War II-era bunker, and settle in and call the place his home. Some say he was able to do it thanks to the legal doctrine that's known as adverse possession, which allows trespassers who openly inhabit and improve an otherwise abandoned piece of property to gain title to that property after certain conditions are met. In North Carolina, adverse possession laws require an individual to occupy an otherwise neglected property for 20 years or 7 years with what's known as the color of title. That means he or she has reason to believe they have the rights to possess the property. Some people were uncomfortable with Robert's presence when he first arrived at Fort Fisher, but in time, he had become friends with many people in the community, and as a local tourist attraction, he became an asset to the area. That is, until the mid-1960s, when developers started an effort to build a subdivision called Ramsgate. There was a Phase 1 and a Phase 2 of the subdivision, and right in between those phases, Robert Harrell's Fort Fisher bunker. But the developers couldn't get him to leave. The federal government tried to get rid of him because he was in the buffer of the military arsenal across the river. Still, he didn't leave, and they couldn't make him go. It turns out the bunker was built on land that the Army thought the state owned, but the state didn't own it. No one really knew who owned that land. There was no deed. So the hermit of Fort Fisher stayed in his bunker until his last day on Earth. Robert Harrell had spent over a decade inviting in strangers, welcoming them, teaching them about living a free life. And in the end, the strangers who he tried to welcome in may have been the ones who turned on him and killed him. On the morning of June 3rd, 1972, a couple of teenage boys had risen early to go visit the hermit. They called out for him as they approached the bunker and heard nothing. So they moved towards the door of Robert Harrell's bunker and found two large plywood boards blocking the door. They called out for Robert Harrell, and after hearing no sounds, one of the boys peeked inside and found the hermit laid spread eagle on a pile of rubbish. One of the boys reached down to touch the man's toe, and it was cold. That's when the boys knew he was gone, and they went to call for help. 79-year-old Robert Harrell was found dead under mysterious circumstances. When authorities arrived, they found Robert Harrell in that awkward spread eagle position, and along with being covered with sand, he was also bloodied and covered in wounds. Authorities surveyed the area around the bunker. They found Robert Harrell's sleeping bag cover, where he usually slept, in a tidal creek, And a nearly new shoe was stuck in the mud, and marks in the ground indicated Robert Harrell had been dragged or crawled 100 feet from the water to the bunker. Despite all the questions at the scene that day, no autopsy was performed. Robert Harrell's death was ruled a heart attack by the county coroner. Authorities said that Robert Harrell must have had a heart attack and somehow managed to crawl back into his bunker. Remember the plywood boards that were blocking the door of his bunker? I'm sure you're wondering, as I do, how does a 79-year-old man have a heart attack, crawl back to his bunker, and manage to cover the door of his bunker with two plywood boards as he's dying? It makes no sense. Some people believe to this day that the heart attack was caused by a violent ambush by three men, possibly a group of rowdy rednecks who had been known to harass Robert Harrell. Fred Pickler was a friend of the Hermit, and on scene the day he was found dead, Pickler had first encountered the Hermit back in 1956 when his Boy Scout troop visited Fort Fisher for a camping trip. Now, Fred Pickler was a grown man, and he was standing at the scene of the death of one of the most beloved men in North Carolina. And things just didn't add up to him that day. Fred Pickler was a crime scene technician working with the county sheriff's department when he was called to the scene to investigate Robert's death. Pickler secured the area, documented the crime scene to collect evidence, and initially determined there was foul play. In 2010, Fred Pickler was interviewed by WECT Television in Wilmington, North Carolina. Pickler claimed three men assaulted Robert Harrell while he was about 10 feet away from his bunker. He says Harrell had a massive heart attack as a result of that violent struggle. And Fred Pickler is not alone in his belief that this happened. Michael Edwards, Robert Harrell's biographer, is a man who has been interested in the case for years, and he's done his own research and investigation. He met Robert Harrell in the 1950s when he would go to Carolina Beach. An interview with Michael was published in the Star News in December of 2001, in which he recounts what he believes happened to Robert Harrell. This is based off of his own research and conversations with people who claim to know those involved in Robert Harrell's death. According to an account he heard from a trusted member of the community, four local men were drinking at Carolina Beach. They decided to go mess with the Hermit. They traveled to and found him in his bunker, sleeping in his sleeping bag cover. They grabbed Robert and dragged him outside. Robert Harrell ran into the marsh as one of the men ran after him. Just imagine what the 79-year-old man must have been feeling as he was once again fleeing violence and trying to run to a safe place. The men caught up to and struggled with Robert Harrell, and during the struggle, one of the man's shoes came off in the mud. The Hermit went limp, having suffered a heart attack due to trauma. The men dragged Robert Harrell back to his bunker, covered the door with the plywood, and left without going back to retrieve the man's shoe that had been stuck in the mud. In the end, Robert Harrell's death may have been bullying gone bad. Michael Edwards shares that he believes that the men who attacked Robert Harrell are still alive today, and that members of the Hermit Society, Hermit Heads as they're known, know the names of those men. Fred Pickler also believes the men who assaulted Robert Harrell that night are around Fort Fisher to this day. And while he doesn't believe the three could be charged with murder, he feels they could at least be arrested on manslaughter charges. Robert Harrell's son, Edward, also believed his father had been harassed and killed and continued to press authorities for answers. Here's Edward Harrell commenting on the death of his father during an interview with WECT Television.
He was murdered, no doubt whatsoever in my mind. I have saw the evidence and heard the evidence to prove beyond any shadow of a doubt in my mind he was murdered by being dragged around in a sleeping bag around the beaches and in the water and the sand and everything. I've saw the evidence to prove this to me. He was brutally and cruelly killed.
He asked that the case of his father's death be opened and investigated as a murder. He made this request for years. And in 1984, Robert Harrell's body was exhumed, but results were inconclusive, and authorities refused to move forward. In 1989, the Hermit's remains were reburied at Federal Point Cemetery in Carolina Beach. Edward Harrell continued to fight for answers to his father's death until his own death in 1997. To this day, the death of the Hermit of Fort Fisher remains a mystery. Robert Harrell's legacy lives on today through his family and the efforts of the Hermit Society that was founded by family, friends, and admirers of Robert Harrell. The society formed on what would have been Robert Harrell's 100th birthday. According to the founders, the Hermit Society was formed to bring together like-minded people who cherish individual freedom, nature, humanistic values, and who enjoy sharing the motivational story of Robert Harrell. They also have worked together to try to persuade local and state authorities to investigate Robert Harrell's death. In the years since Robert Harrell died, several suspects have been named, but members of the Hermit Society have been told that authorities have refused to question the suspects without first having proof of their involvement. If you ever find yourself near the North Carolina coast, you can visit the Hermit's Bunker. It's still standing, and just outside of the bunker, there's a memorial to Robert Harrell and his popularity around the area. Robert Harrell was once asked about that popularity, why so many people wanted to meet the Hermit of Fort Fisher. He answered with these words: "Everybody ought to be a hermit for a few minutes to an hour or so every 24 hours. Study, meditate, and commune with their creator. Millions of people want to do just what I'm doing, but since it is much easier thought of than done, they subconsciously elect me to represent them. My life here goes up and down like the tides of this old sea out here. Only nature determines my existence." Southern Mysteries is hosted and produced by me, Shannon Ballard. If you'd like to learn more about Robert Harrell's life, you can find a link to the documentary film about him in the show notes. You can also see photos of Robert, read articles about him from the people who knew and loved him, and learn more about the Hermit Society in our Facebook group. Just search for Southern Mysteries Podcast. And connect on Twitter. Follow me at Mysteries Pod, or on Instagram, we're at Southern Mysteries.